This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
A man was caught stealing a car. He was brought into court. And he stood before the judge, and the judge asked him, "Sir, do you have a lawyer?" He said, "No, sir, I don't have a lawyer." He says, "Well, the court will then appoint a lawyer for you because we want justice done." He said, "Your Honor," he said, "that's my problem. I don't need justice. I need mercy. All of us need mercy." And today we want to talk about a prayer that Paul prayed for a friend of his. And he prayed this, that he'd find mercy in that day. Mercy in that day being the day of judgment. I'm Billy Lambert. I'm the speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible, and we're delighted to have you watching today, especially if this is your first time to watch Getting to Know Your Bible. And we want to thank you for taking time to watch. We want to thank those that watch every time we come on the air, and we have those that are so loyal and so faithful in watching. Today we're going to be offering a free Bible correspondence course, and I emphasize the fact that it is free. And in order that you might know a little bit more about the course and that you might know how to receive it, we're going to pause for just a moment.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
I'm reading now from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. In this reading, the Apostle Paul takes us into his closet, and he lets us know about a prayer that he had been praying for a friend of his, Onesiphorus. Paul was in prison, and while Paul was a prisoner, Onesiphorus helped him. And Paul now is praying on that man's behalf, that he will find mercy of the Lord in that day. Now that day refers to the day of judgment. Sometimes it's just called that day. For instance, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, he said, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." It's just called that day. Now you turn the page to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and you read in verse number 8, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all of them that love his appearing." So there again, the day of judgment is called that day. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22, Jesus said, "Many will say unto me in that day," the day of judgment. The day of judgment will be a day of surprise for some people. They'll be surprised. Jesus depicts their surprise in Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 21. When he said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name done many wonderful works, but I shall profess unto them, I never knew you." They're going to be surprised. A lot of people who think they're in a right relationship with God will be surprised on that day. It's going to be a day of disappointment. In Matthew chapter 7, again in verse 23 and following, Jesus said, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, him will liken unto a wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon his house, and it fell not, for it was founded on a rock. But whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man that built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon his house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it." Here's a man who built, but his house didn't stand. Oh, what a disappointment that was going to be for him. The day of judgment not only is going to be a day of surprise and disappointment, but it'll be a day of separation. In Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31, Jesus said, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all of his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats." You see, there'll be a separation on the day of judgment. There'll be the righteous on one hand, the unrighteous on the other. There will be a faithful Christian on one hand, unfaithful Christian on another. There'll be a saved man on one hand, unsaved man on the other. There's going to be a line of demarcation drawn down through the families of earth. A line of separation on the day of judgment. But it will also be a day of justice. God is a just God. In Genesis 28 and verse 15, the question is asked, "Shall not the judge of all of the earth do right?" And he will he not? He will do right. But the day of judgment is also going to be a day of mercy. And that's what we're talking about today, mercy in that day. You know, the psalmist in Psalms 52 and verse 8, he said, "I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever." And we need to trust in the mercy of God forever and forever. But for whom will that day be a day of mercy? Now that's the biggest question of all. For whom will it be a day of mercy? Well, over in Luke, the 18th chapter, Jesus told about two men that went up to the temple to pray. One of those men was a Pharisee. Now the Pharisees were the straitest sect of the law, and they would compass land and sea to make one proselyte. And they would bind heavy burdens upon other people, but they would not do it themselves. And so in Luke 18, we have two men. One's a Pharisee, one is a publican. The publican was a lowly tax collector. He was a despised man. And so they're praying. And the publican is praying. He said, "Lord, be merciful." He said, "God, I thank you that I'm not as other men are." What a self-righteous prayer to just start off with. "I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like other men." And then he pointed to this poor old publican over there. And he said, I thank you, Lord, I'm not like that man. I read about a Sunday school teacher who was trying to teach her class about the publican and the Pharisee. And so she called on one of the little boys to lead a prayer. And he started out like this. He said, Lord, we are so thankful that we're not like the Pharisee. It's hard to learn this lesson. You see, it's hard to learn to be humble. And that's one of the things this man lacked. He prayed, Lord, he said, I want you to know that I am better than this publican. I want you to know that I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And then there's this poor old publican standing there. And we're told that he lifted up his eyes to heaven, he smote his breast, and he prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We should all be praying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus analyzed those two men, just like he's analyzing all people today. He's analyzing me. He's analyzing you. He knows what's going on in our lives. And Jesus said, he that goeth down, that one of these men went down to his house justified rather than the other, because he that exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. See, the old saying is true. The way up is down. If you want to be exalted, learn to possess humility. And so this man is praying for mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, there'll be mercy for those who felt they needed mercy. Then there's going to be mercy for those who showed mercy. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7, Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Well, suppose I don't have mercy. James 2:13 says, he shall be judged without mercy, who has shown no mercy. What I need is mercy. I need God to be merciful to me. Well, there's a parable of Jesus in Luke the 10th chapter. And we call it the parable of the Good Samaritan. And there are two men that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And there was this traveler that went down the road. And the traveler fell among thieves. And along comes a priest. And he sees the man there laying by the side of the road half dead, the Bible says. So he passed by on the other side. And then along comes a Levite. And I call him the assistant preacher, there's the priest, he's the preacher, and then the Levite's the assistant preacher. And so they have, I'm being a little bit facetious there, aren't I? But that's what they were in that day. And he passed by on the other side. And now comes a Samaritan. And he stops, and he gets off of his animal, and he tends to the wounds of this man. Not only does he tend to the wounds of his man, he puts him on his animal, and he carries him to the inn, and he there is taken care of, and he tells the innkeeper, whatever, I'm going to pay for whatever it takes to take care of this man. And when I come back, I'll pay you. Now, Jesus asked the question, who was the neighbor to those that fell among thieves? And they said, he that had compassion on him. That is, men had mercy. You see, those that need mercy are those that show mercy, those that will receive mercy. We need to be doing all of the good that we can for other people. And that's how we show mercy. Galatians 6 and verse 10 reads like this, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. We need to be merciful by showing good to all people, whether they're red or yellow or black or white, whether they're living on our side of the town or the other side of town. It doesn't matter. We need to help people. We need to help as many people as we possibly can. And we show mercy to people. mercy. We need mercy for those who are willing to confess and forsake their sin. In Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13, Solomon said, "He that confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall find mercy." You see, it's not enough to confess your sin. You've got to get out of the sinning business. You've got to quit that sin. You've got to get out of that sin. You've got to forsake your sins. I've seen many people over the years come walking down the aisle during a big evangelistic meeting or revival, and they'd make an acknowledgement of wrong in their life. Said, "Brother Lambert, I've been forsaking the assembly." They confessed it, and then they missed the very next night of that revival. I don't know whether that confession got very much traction with God. You see, we need to confess our sins that we will have mercy from God. Heard about a woman said she was as good as Jesus Christ. She was getting better every day. I think that woman needed to do a lot of confessing of her sins, because no one is as good as Jesus Christ. None of us will ever be as good as Jesus Christ. And so we need to be confessing our sins, confessing our faults, and forsaking sin in our life. For example, if you beat your wife, and in all probability there's someone right now watching this telecast that's abused your wife. Maybe you slapped her with the back of your hand. You may have given her a black eye. I've seen it. I've seen things like this. Over the years of preaching, I've seen women abused like this. And it happens. And they are so ashamed that their husband has mistreated them. Sir, if you've been abusing your wife, you need to talk to your wife, and you need to confess that to your wife, that you're sorry that this has happened, that you've done it. But then you need to forsake that sin. A man that loves his wife will never lift his hand to hurt her. And you need to forsake that sin. Whatever your sin is, maybe you misuse the name of God. Forsake that sin as you confess that sin. Let's get out of the sinning business. We need mercy in that day. And we need mercy in that day for those who have obeyed the gospel. There's going to be mercy. We're saved by mercy. Listen to Titus 3 and verse 5. "Not by works of righteousness which we're saved, but by His mercy, which He has shown on us." And so God saves us by His mercy, His pity. Were it not for the mercy of God, the pity of God, He would not have given His Son. And He gave that Son out of love for those whom He pitied, whom He helped, on whom He had mercy. And when we obey the gospel of Christ, we receive forgiveness by God's mercy. And God is willing to save anybody. Paul was writing about his past in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And in verse number 13, he said, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. There he's talking about the kind of a man he had been. And in verse 15, he said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world." Why? "To save sinners, of whom I am chief." Paul received mercy from God because God came to save men like the Apostle Paul. Mercy in that day. There'll be mercy for those that feared the Lord. Luke chapter 1 and 50 says, "His mercy is on them that fear Him." So the day of judgment will be a day of mercy. But think about it. We've not yet come to that day, have we? We've not come to the day of judgment. And we're now living in the year of 2021, in the 20th century. And somebody says, well, and we are looking forward to the day that Jesus comes, and we will receive mercy of the Lord in that day. Somebody says, but Brother Lambert, here's where I differ with you. I don't think I need God's mercy. I don't think I need God's mercy. Well, all of us need His mercy, whether we realize it or not. There's a little fictitious tale told about a man who died and appeared at the gates of glory. And he was told that he would have to have 100 points to enter heaven. And he said, well, I was baptized when I was about 15. And I've always gone to church services to worship the Lord. And I pray and I read my Bible. And I've talked to some of my friends and encouraged them to give their lives to the Lord. And some of them were even baptized. Now, how many points is that worth? And he was told, that's just worth 1 point. He said, well, then I'll just have to throw myself on the mercy of the court. And he was told, that's worth 99 points. You see, we need God's mercy in that day. God is rich in mercy, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse number 4. And in Psalms chapter 23, David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. In Psalms 33 and verse 22, the psalmist said, let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us as according as we hope in thee. You say, well, Brother Lambert, I think I need God's mercy. And I want to know, what must I do? I see now that I'm in bad need of God's mercy. My friend, you need to become a New Testament Christian by having faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior. If you see your need of mercy, evidently you believe. And He is your Lord and Savior. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Anointed One. He is the Lord. He is the Savior. And He wants to save you from your sins. And He wants to have mercy on you because of your sins. Your sins will damn you for eternity. I don't know how old a person is, but when they become accountable for their life and for the sins that they commit, some say 12 years old, some say 15 years old. I don't think there's a magic number. I don't think there's a magic age. Nobody knows that. I think some are more mature at 10 than some are when they're 15. And understand more about what they need to do to be a Christian. But I'm speaking to people now that are older than that. I'm speaking to people that are 25, 30, 35, 40, 50, maybe 60 or 70 years of age. And you're still lost in your sins. And God is a merciful God. And that's the very reason Paul prayed this prayer or on his friend Onesiphorus, because God is a God of mercy. And when I stand before Him at last on that day, I don't want justice. I want mercy. I want His mercy. And His mercy endureth forever. Now, to be a New Testament Christian and to give your life to Christ, we just need to follow what people did in New Testament times. And I'll call your attention now to an example of what one did. It's in the 8th chapter of Acts. In Acts, the 8th chapter, Philip had been preaching in Samaria. And his labors were interrupted so that he could go down to teach a man who had been to Jerusalem to worship. And this man was an Ethiopian. And he was on his way back home. And the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip to the chariot side of this man. And this is recorded in your Bible now in Acts, the 8th chapter. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all of her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, sitting in his chariot, and read Isaiah the prophet, is reading the Bible. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. Philip ran there to him, heard him read Isaiah, and he asked the man this question, Do you understand what you're reading? I'd urge you to believe in Jesus, to repent of your sins, confess faith in Christ, and to allow some servant of God to immerse you in water for the remission of your sins. And you will have forgiveness. And on the day of judgment, you can have mercy on that day. May God bless you for watching today, and may I give you a personal invitation to visit the Church of Christ in your community. And if you don't know where it's located, if you'll contact us, we'll get that address for you. And also right now, pick up the telephone, call for the free Bible correspondence course, or you can take it online. Either way, we want you to have it. And I want to thank you for watching today. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580. Or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.